With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. It's Monday, the 2nd of August, and praise be, the Scottish football season has started. Welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Greetings, loved ones. So good to see you.
Hello.
Oh, you're talking to us? Right, okay.
Yeah, people, we are recording remotely all this week because, as may be evident, one of our number has come down with evil COVID. So, yeah, get well soon, Pete Donaldson. And we're going to be coming to you from our sexy bedrooms, as discussed, for the next week or so. Hope you understand any, loud pauses or whatever as we struggle along to get each other's jokes from isolation. It's a lot more difficult.
How does a loud pause work?
It's you know all about it, don't you, having done stand-up?
I think you mean a laugh. I hope you mean a laugh.
No, I'm talking about when stuff dies, right?
Right, but what, like, it's not loud then, is it? That's what I mean.
It's really loud. We've all been to, lots of people will have been to the Edinburgh Festival and have gone into a like free show in the afternoon on a Tuesday and heard those loud pauses where you can tell that the person is absolutely desperate for the three people in the venue to laugh and
nothing comes.
You know all
there's
about
no sound
it.
In
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
right,
it's loud because it's the loud bit is your ears, like
the absence
the blood
of the volume
pounding.
Is what screams at you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you do in those circumstances?
Talking about it, I know exactly what you mean. I just reassess my life choices, accept that I'm too far down that rabbit hole and plough on.
Oh, bless you.
And funnily enough, we're going to talk about Arsenal next, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to see you. How are you doing, Brass? You've been out. You've been free, haven't you? I think.
Yeah, I have. I might go out in 5 minutes, actually, depending on how this goes.
Jesus, look at him. Just making our lives seem small and petty. Look, Arsenal did play a bit of football. There was a London derby, no less, Jim. And I know how you feel about these. You think we need lots and lots more, especially in friendlies. So you were super keen about it. In fact, it kicked off with the girls beforehand, didn't it? Which Arsenal women actually managed to win.
Good.
So maybe you should just back out of the old men's team.
Yeah, or just support both a bit more. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Arsenal losing to Chelsea in pre-season is such a seismic defeat that I wonder if they might now just fold the club, given some of the responses I've read to that. It's absolutely devastating to lose a pre-season game in which players are getting back up to speed and the full squads aren't there and a lot of transfers haven't been done. So it's just like, it really has rocked my faith in the entire sport. I think everyone's a fraud, basically.
See, what I took from that, Jim, from watching the extended highlights of this game, is that now we can be sure that Joe Willock is the natural heir to Frank Lampard, which I think is an entirely positive thing to take
from absolutely.
It.
That's very, very true. He's been robbed there, isn't he? Do we need VAR in pre-season games? We probably do. The campaign starts here. We need it everywhere. We need it absolutely everywhere.
But it's not VAR, is it? I thought it was, because what you're referring to, right, is Joe Willock. Joe Willock literally scored, correct?
He scored a goal. You're right. It should be the goal line technology.
Yeah, I thought goal line technology was just one
sat
of those
in
automatic
there.
Things that always happened. Yeah. Except
I thought it just lived in the posts.
Yeah, exactly. But so it was just, it sounds like it was just off, basically. And then the referees, you know, that's a task that they've delegated out. So why should they be able to do it? Is that what happened?
Doesn't matter, does it? It's a fitness exercise, really.
It does matter. It's Joe. Surely you're excited about Joe Willock coming back, getting on the score sheet, and now the narrative is entirely different.
I
want to get you riled up.
I mean, he scored, didn't he? It counts as much as it doesn't count. It's a friendly. Like, it doesn't matter.
But on the other hand, Jim, I think Ben White already has a good sense of what he signed up for with Arsenal, because he came on, did quite well for the second half, even though he's pretty much like a babysitter turning up at a house where the kids are running around naked with Nutella all over their faces and the kitchen's on fire and the parents go, here you go. We haven't got a number you can contact us on because we'll be at the theatre. We'll be home before 2:30 a.m.
Yeah. If you've got any problems, just knock next door for Willian. He probably won't be there though. It's a bit more like babysitting in a trench, isn't it? Like there's just a lot going on. But he, you know, he seemed to adapt to it quite well. You know, certain types of defenders like to be busy, right? They like to be involved. And I think he's been fairly used to that at Brighton. And actually, you know, it's easy to sort of laugh at Arsenal's somewhat chaotic approach to things sometimes. But certainly to the second half of the season, they had a really good defensive record. So, you know, hopefully it won't be a sort of constant bombardment in the way that certain periods of the game were yesterday. Obviously, you know, you're playing against Chelsea as well, so they are the champions of Europe for good reason. Although Hector Bellerin should probably not be making life so easy for Tammy Abraham. Unless he's very confident he's going to join Arsenal. And he's like, give you an early assist.
Where are we at on that? Is Tammy, is that likely to happen? Or
seems to have gone a bit quiet.
Following the wanderings of Tammy?
I think the thing is, Arsenal have got so much business to do. So, I mean, if you look at the three players they've brought in, obviously they've paid a lot of money for Ben White. People are going, oh, 50 million for Ben White. But that was the same money that Ben Chilwell cost, that Aaron Wan-Bissaka cost. A young, good English defender costs a lot of money. Arsenal have had to pay that if they want to get him, right? And you've also got Tavares and Lokonga have come in. And that's something like 76 million between those three players. And you can still argue that Arsenal need... They need to replace Hector Bellerin if he leaves, looking less likely now. They probably need a striker, definitely need a creative midfielder. There's so many players that still need to come in and they've already spent a lot of money. So I don't think it can all happen in this window. So they have to be a work in progress for a bit longer.
Yeah, fair enough. Lokonga said he's very excited to play in one of those like joining Arsenal interviews where you're put up and you're supposed to try and say nothing. People will try and make a news line out of it anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Lokonga said the player he was most excited to play with was Nicolas Pepe, but then mainly he just really likes Barcelona players and actually didn't seem to particularly respect anyone.
Great. There's your headline. Yeah. Bloody hell. Talking up his Barcelona DNA already.
Yeah, you might as well. He's got his moment in the sun, hasn't he? You might as well use it to advertise.
Is that the earliest, like, placing of someone placing themselves in the shop window ever in their unveiling for another club?
Maybe that's what the club desires. I mean, you know, we always hear about how it's good for players to have sell-on. If those players have sell-on value and are advertising themselves at the same time, although with Barcelona's current situation, he'll be advertising himself for probably 6-7 years down the line. So there's no need to panic just yet, is there?
The other one is this kid. Is he a kid? Do we call a 21-year-old a kid? That's probably a bit disrespectful. So Tavares, he's the one who's come through the Benfica youth system. Can you tell us things about him, Brass?
He's talented. He's raw. I wouldn't expect him to start. Obviously, Tierney's ahead of him anyway. And he's not playing an enormous amount of first team football for Benfica. So, they need depth. They need players who can improve. I think that's pretty good.
I was just going to say, I think that this window has been pretty good so far in getting just the age profile of the squad down, getting some players in for the future. Arsenal have to be sensible about where they are and trying to be looking to build a team that competes rather than going, no, we need to get back in the Champions League straight away. That's like very, very unlikely.
Oh, sorry, Jim. You've been crushed finally.
No, it's good.
It's good not to be in the Champions League.
Positive. Well, I think it's positive steps in the direction of making the squad just better and more reliable. Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be a gradual thing. Thomas Partey being injured straight away doesn't help, but there you go.
That's what I was about to bring up. Yeah. Do you feel as though I was having a little dig around at his injury record since joining. So he joined in 2020, the start of the season 2020, right? Mm. And it does look. Does it feel to you as though he's been injured? He hasn't, right, just to be clear, but it feels to me as though he's been injured near constantly. He's had sort of three separate bouts of injury, a lot of which are hip and hamstring.
Well, it does, because it does feel like he's been injured constantly because he's not really been able to put a run together for that long. So we've not seen the best of him yet, I don't think. I mean, there have been times where he's been absolutely fantastic and like clearly our best midfielder, but we just need to keep him fit.
Mm. Okay. All right. So some good, some bad. That's the way of it. But frankly, you don't give a shit about these friendlies. You seemed pretty keen on Olivier Giroud's appearance, though. What's Olivier Giroud been up to?
Who isn't keen on Olivier Giroud's appearance?
I actually found it a bit much in the WhatsApp group. I felt a little bit like someone needed to protect Giroud from the pair of you.
I think it was nice. I mean, he scored a goal that made people happy, that made me and Jim happy, and that's the most important thing. So, yeah, he came on as sub in Milan's friendly against Nice with his first touch, scored a header, and Jim hadn't seen it at the time that we were discussing about it. And I think from memory, Jim wrote glancing header / Gallic shrug. And in fact, he did score a glancing header.
He did.
Over Kefren Turan, wasn't it,
and
said.
Celebrated with kind of a Gallic shrug. So you've got a bit of both. The cheekbones are on fire.
he scored with his first touch, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, and there's this thought of being a sort of number nine curse at Milan in recent years. Of course, Zlatan has worn the number 11 since he's come back, but Mandzukic didn't come off. Gonzalo Higuain had a really bad spell there on loan. So I think that Giroud could be the man to break that.
Mm.
You guys are already missing him, aren't you, from the Premier? I mean, I suppose Brass gets to watch a lot more European.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
be missing him. I'm going to be watching him every week.
Yeah, I'll just get really into Milan.
Yeah, exactly. This is the moment for you, Jim, to join up.
You'll be drinking out of Spellers Franco Baresi mug before you know it, I think.
Oh, is that Spellers? Oh, of course it is. Someone else on the score sheet as well that was lovely too was Raul Jimenez. So he was back playing in friendly against Stoke. I think it was 1-1 final score there, but he scored a lovely little volley, sort of tap in. And it was, of course, his first goal since that sickening head injury that he experienced all those months ago. So, yeah, really, I don't know about you guys, but whenever it's a head injury like that, you always wonder, are we going to see those players play again, full stop? And so to see him come back on, look that good, and score a goal. And there's just everyone, you know, it's a goal in a friendly against Stoke. People aren't going absolutely wild, but there was very much like a lovely little cuddle with his teammates and
it's sense a nice
of
moment.
Like, right, I'm back. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And the point you were making about people not going absolutely wild in friendlies, I would partly dispute that, Mace, because I think in a lot of places, people are being allowed back in grounds for the first time. So there may be friendlies. There may be that intrinsic feel that, yeah, it doesn't really matter, as Jim was conveying at the beginning. But in Marseille Villarreal, for example, at the weekend, we had 30,000 fans inside the Velodrome, which is only half full. But it's the first time they've had fans in 552 days. And they celebrated the goals like it meant something. Jorge Sampaoli and Unai Emery almost had a fight on the touchline. I mean, that is as good as pre-season friendlies get. And people are getting a little overexcited about it because they're back in the ground and they're seeing old faces. And it's nice.
That's absolutely true. Actually, I was thinking more of the players didn't go wild, although perhaps they're still trying to treat each other with a bit of care and gentleness. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The Wolves fans were having a good old sing-song, which was really lovely to see. And not just in England, of course, Scottish Premiership, proper football got underway this weekend. Unfortunately for Celtic, they don't seem ready for it. Hearts back up to the Scottish Premiership and they won 2-1 against Celtic. This, I learn, is Celtic's first opening day defeat in 24 years. Now, Brass, does that say more about, I mean, clearly we're not here to start casting stones at Scottish football, but obviously Celtic having had a level of dominance that seems to have dropped off and now it's a statement. It's like the reverse of a statement, isn't it? To lose your opening day game to a team that's just been promoted.
I think it shows how hard it is to recover after what happened to them in the Champions League. I mean, you have to cut them a bit of slack in that Hearts are just promoted, of course, and very, very motivated. And it's a huge game for them to come back to the Premiership with. And Celtic had to play 120 minutes in Midtjylland in the week, who, as we saw, were in the group stages of the Champions League last season. So they're not pushovers by any stretch of the imagination. And just evacuating that disappointment, as well as the fact that the whole chat around Celtic since has been digging at the board. I think it's been very, very hard. And I don't think anyone's in any doubt of the job that Ange Postecoglou has got, because there's the feeling of the squad being kind of half finished. Now, I know we always have this feeling at the start of a season that is it that time already, that quickly dissipates in a couple of weeks. But I think because of the double season that's just happened, plus the Euros, which of course Scotland were part of, and then the games are upon us already, it actually is happening too soon for Celtic, as well as the fact that they're at this sort of crossroads of huge change. You know, the fans are unhappy. You can understand that. It doesn't seem, as we were talking about on the ramble last week after the Midtjylland game, that there's any leadership in terms of recruitment and transfers. So there's not good vibes there. And just, I think after I watched this game, and after they got the equaliser, you're thinking, right, they can press on and go and win this game. But they just didn't defend well enough to win any game. I mean, the problems that are there are obvious. There's no leadership at the back in terms of the goalkeeper. So, yeah, they need work. They need work. But well done to the Jambos.
Yeah, well, the great thing for Celtic, Jim, is that, you know, their fans generally and the local press, it's definitely the sort of place where you can really just bed in, take your time, roll with the punches, you know, lose a few. They'll be really understanding, won't they? So,
especially as Rangers won as well, and they're already playing catch up. I'm sure that'll be fine. So that'll be absolutely no problem. But realistically though, that, you know, a club like that, you expect pressure anyway, right? So when a little bit of it comes, just, you know, that's part of the job.
Yeah, that's right. And as Brass says, Postecoglou, he's got the smarts, but he needs a bit of time for the sounds of things. They've got to travel to face Jablonec. Have I done that right? Jablonec in the Czech Republic on Thursday. That's the Europa League third qualifying round. Really grafting already. And yeah, as you mentioned, Jim, Rangers beat Livingston 3-0. A lovely goal in that one from Yanis Hadji, as there are in so many of those Rangers games.
See, he's 22, isn't he now, Hadji? I'm surprised there's not been a bit more noise about him potentially, you know, getting a move away from Rangers. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they've got him tied down very well, but he's a player you expect to have a big career.
I think a huge part of that, the thing is, he's one of those players who you can't not judge on his name because his dad was so good. I want him to be amazing. He's not amazing yet. He has amazing moments. So I think like Rangers is the right place for him. But I get super excited every time I see that name on the score sheet for his dad.
Oh, Christ, it's a Schmeichel effect. But he did all right in the end, eh? All right, guys, let's get on to a break, shall we? And then we'll come back for a deep dive into ice rinks and some transfers. Stay with us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Oh.
De Bruyne, De Gea, De Arby.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Jim, and Andy, collectively in your ears, but on our own. We're going all right, thanks for asking. Now it's time for some of these.
Sam Campbell, who initially emailed on Friday about the ice rink in Northern Ireland, has been in touch. If you didn't hear the show, firstly, what are you doing? Secondly, essentially, there was a game played in Northern Ireland on a pitch that was laid on the top of an ice rink during a game. Guess what happened? The ice began to melt. So Sam has got in touch again and said, in response to being called a liar on Friday's show.
I don't remember doing that.
But it doesn't mean we didn't. I have attached a link to a story that proves that I didn't make it up and that at least one other person remembers it happening. I expect an apology to be issued forthwith. Indeed, there is an article explaining exactly that happening. So Sam, I sort of apologise for calling you a liar if I indeed did it, but you have the same surname as me, you know we're not to be trusted, so it will only go so far. So Jennifer Hoznacki has been in touch as well. She says, regarding your discussion on hosting events in ice rinks, I worked in an ice rink for more than 7 years, and the trouble with removing all the ice is how long it takes to do. The sheet of ice is between 1 and 1.5 inches thick and takes a shockingly long time to melt out. The quickest way to go about it is to continuously shave layers off with a Zamboni, which still takes most of a day's work to accomplish. Then there is the matter of replacing the ice when you need it again. It's more than just painting your hockey lines, filling it like a swimming pool and waiting for it to freeze. Since that would take ages, the ice is added layer by layer with the hockey lines going on after about a dozen or so layers are down. It takes about 3 or 4 days, quicker if you have staff working on it around the clock. Instead, when the ice needs to be covered, a material called homasote, basically thick heavy plywood, is laid atop the ice, which insulates it from the heat above, keeps anyone in the area warm, and protects the ice from damage. This is how NBA games can be hosted in NHL arenas within hours after the end of a hockey game. Hope this wisdom was interesting. Keep up the great work. That was interesting. This is great.
It was.
That is amazing. What an
request
amazing
more
email.
Explanations of things from our listeners.
Yeah. We're still a bit light.
Thanks,
on
Jennifer.
Inuit correspondence, but that from Jennifer is greater detail than I thought was available on this subject, and I feel completely educated. I'm also picturing the whole like 1.5 inchness of the ice. It's kind of extraordinary, isn't it? It slightly suggests that Sam is lying, by the way. How would that start to be melting?
Doubling down.
Sorry, Sam. Jennifer, you're amazing. Write in again about literally anything. That was really great. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Let's dig into a few bits and bobs on the transfer melee, the transfer wheel of excitement.
Wheel of excitement.
Oh, what an enthusiastic voice I just used. I am enthusiastic. Aston Villa have agreed a deal for Bayer Leverkusen's Leon Bailey, Emi Buendia, and Ashley Young, Villa's two other arrivals. Right. Does this suggest that the Jack Grealish thing, Brass, is likely to happen?
Well,
or does it suggest
not, he's not a direct replacement. They would be buying him anyway, I think. Because Bailey's a wide player. On his day, he's incredible. He can skin fullbacks with his left foot if he's on the left-hand side. If he's on the right-hand side, he can come inside and shoot. And, you know, there have been moments at Leverkusen where he beat Bayern pretty much on his own at the Allianz Arena, where he looks incredible. But those moments don't happen often enough. And that's why he's going to Villa rather than Chelsea, where he was initially linked when he started doing well in Germany. And that's why he's costing 30 million, not 60 million. If Villa work on him, he could become really good. But they need to work on him. He's an amazing fun when he's on it, though.
But it seems like, Jim, as though Villa are setting up to do pretty well, to make a real run at something anyway this season, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, as we've discussed quite a few times, they do have money to spend, and they're debt-free, so they're investing very wisely. I think, you know, they're not stupid, are they? They will be prepared for the idea that Jack Grealish might leave. And I wonder if actually people are talking like about who they're going to replace him with. I think Emi Buendia might actually be the replacement for Jack Grealish already, because he's a very, very creative player, mm-hmm. does a sort of similar thing in terms of just making stuff happen. So I think ideally they would love to have them both, but I wonder if that was part of the thinking of getting him in as well. There's talk of Todd Cantwell as well, which would be really interesting. I was surprised he didn't get a move when Norwich were relegated before. So obviously, you know, different profile of player. You know, you'd be disappointed if it was a like-for-like swap, obviously, with no disrespect to Todd Cantwell, but still, it'd be a good platform for him as well. They're a really, really interesting team to keep an eye on, because it's so difficult to break into the so-called top six, even though, you know, not all six of them even get in there every year. But it's very, very tough to like establish yourself towards the top end of the table. And Villa are having a good go at it. They're doing what you would think Everton would want to do. They're just going about it with a bit more of a plan, I think.
Would Cantwell not be a suitable replacement for Grealish from a follicular point of view?
Maybe that's the thinking, yeah.
I think it should be. Obviously, at the moment, they're going at it, it seems at least, on best case scenario, that if you're trying to convince Jack Grealish to stay, you've got to surround him with players that say, we're going somewhere. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, if the worst case scenario happens and they feel they do have to sell him, if he does demand to leave, you know, they're already on an upward trajectory. And I think other players will want to sign for them.
Yeah. It's a big Alice band to fill.
I think he's bringing his own.
Yeah.
He needs those special socks, I guess. Although they'd just be really saggy if they'd been worn previously by Grealish. Unless you've done some really good work. Yeah, that's a really interesting point, actually, Brass. And they've also been, there's talk about James Ward-Prowse as well. So what your impression is that they might be basically creating a team that adds up to Jack Grealish's ambitions. That's an incredible thing to do.
Well, that's clearly the aim. Now, whether that comes off or not is a different kettle of fish. But, you know, like I said, if it doesn't come off, you're still convincing the supporters that you're going in the right direction. And last season was so, so positive for them. I mean, I can't remember from the predictions how many of us predicted them to go down, but I was definitely one of them. I've got to fess up now. So the job that they did last season was brilliant.
And whether Grealish leaves or not, they still have to keep pushing in that direction, don't they? And it's what they're doing. So I don't think their plans change that much, whether he goes or not.
Yeah, interesting point. They beat Bristol City 3-0 this weekend. Kevin Friend booked one of the stands for chanting, "You're just a shit monster." You book a stand?
You can do what you want in pre-season. But this is the point.
The
it's
idea
great.
Of anyone being a shit Mike Dean is so sad, isn't it? It breaks my heart.
Well, Mike Dean's a shit Mike Dean, isn't he?
Exactly. So where does it end? Oh, God. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. Gary Cahill has left Crystal Palace after his two-year deal from August 2019 expired. 61 England caps, of course, Cahill, and one goal in 45 games for Palace. But that's not exactly what he was brought in to do. Harry Kane chat bubbles on, but I'm sure everyone's bored of that already. Maybe that's the point.
Are we bored of it?
Christian Romero. Maybe perhaps that's what Spurs are doing, trying to create a team that Harry Kane would feel good about.
I think the main thing for them is working out how they're going to spend the money better than the way they spent the Bale money. That's the most important thing.
Well, I mean, you say that, but like, if City sign Grealish, can they also sign Kane? We don't know. This is the thing that's going around. Is it even possible to do it? They've got to sell players, haven't they?
Anything's possible when FFP is napping. That's what I would say to you, James Campbell. But I like that you believe in, you know, rules and regulations. That's very touching.
No, it's that I really want Kane to leave and I'm scared it won't happen.
I was trying to spin it into a friendly version. I thought we said some quite nice stuff about Arsenal earlier, did we not?
Look, there's no need to give it the big one just because it's Europa Conference League draw day. There's no need to lord it over Jim, okay?
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yes. Sorry,
it may be
mate.
Your day of glory, but some people are suffering out there.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been a bit more sympathetic. the other sympathy I need really is because when we were trying to record something the other day, Great Britain were losing 4-3 to Australia by the time we finished, and so they are out of the Olympics, even though Ellen Bloody White scored a hat trick. I thought this
gutting,
was pretty,
isn't it?
Pretty devastating, to be honest. I mean, going into the Olympics, I didn't expect too much because, as we've talked about already, you know, this is not a team that exists, right? Yes, it was a majority England squad, but England haven't played any competitive games since the World Cup. You know, it's not been the same setup at all as, for example, the USA, who've played something ludicrous, like 20 games in the interim. And they've got this interim head coach as well, Hege Riise, who is great, but, you know, she's not been brought in for the longer term. She's like covering a gap after old Fizzer went off to do his big works in Miami, and is much missed. So yeah, I wasn't expecting much at the start of the tournament, but you know, when you see Ellen White banging those in and the number of chances that we had, there was even a chance in extra time. It was a complete lack of game management, this one, Jim, really. Like, Sam Kerr is one of the best players in the world, but not only was there an 89th minute equaliser that then took it into extra time, which seemed to kind of crush our spirit, but then there was also this absolutely, I'm sorry, Caroline Weir, but that was a terrible penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I guess the pressure of a situation like that. You see it so often, don't you? You see that type of penalty in high-pressure situations where it's what commentators call a perfect height for the goalkeeper. And you see it so, so often. And I don't know what the psychology of that is. Maybe it's just sort of, I don't know, you're trying to aim for a corner, but you miss it, or you're just kind of hitting and hoping a little bit. Like, but it was just one of those at the worst possible time. You just hand all the momentum back to the opposition as well.
As it literally turned out, because then they went on and scored. I don't know, Brass, I suppose it's just a case of trying to get, you're just like, please don't let me miss the goal, right? Presumably that's part of the psychology.
Well, no, mistakes happen. I think it's that simple. And there are a lot of them, particularly in the back end of normal time and going into extra time from Team GB. I mean, when they had their good spells in that game, that they looked head and shoulders above. I thought they looked really, really good. But you talked about game management. I just wonder if they didn't have enough left in the tank, to be honest, because
they looked knackered, didn't they?
They did. And as you say, Sam Kerr's one of the best players in the world. You can't give her a chance like that equalizer right at the end, where she had two stabs at it really, and she had time to really take her time over it. The defending was poor for that, and it wasn't great throughout. But even after that, you had that moment where England created a couple of half chances after that Sam Kerr equaliser. And the bit where I thought they're done, even before the Kerr miss penalty, before the Caroline Weir miss penalty, sorry, I thought was a bit before the end of normal time, when Lucy Bronze had a break down the right when GB were pinning Australia back. And you're expecting Lucy Bronze to go on the charge around the outside, and she miscontrols it, loses it, and can't really come back. And you think, yeah, if she's got no gas left, like, what are the rest of the team gonna be like, really? And so it proved. I mean, they battled quite hard towards the end to try and get themselves back into the game. But yeah, it just did feel like they were physically a little bit short.
I think Pete, actually, or someone, we were talking about that horrible, hot, humidity rain. Like, I think it was a case that was not a great climate on that day to be playing football. But of course, both teams playing in the same circumstances. I thought it was a slightly amusing, it was a sort of neg that Kerr made afterwards. She said, "That was a mental win for me when I've seen that Fran Kirby was on the bench for GB. She's the best player in the world for me at the moment." Oh. Obviously, they play together in the Women's Super League. But yeah, Fran Kirby's been injured. She came on towards the end. Questions for me about why she wasn't brought on a bit sooner, maybe. But I love that this post-match sledging, which is basically like, oh, I really rate one of your players. You slightly underused her. Thanks. Yeah. The men's tournament has been going wild, I think. So obviously, in the men's tournament, it's all under 23 sides. So it still means that there's a lot of players who've been overwhelmingly overplayed. But it means quite a fun look at some of the youngsters and quite, I don't know, just some quite wild stuff. Did you see the Spain 5, Ivory Coast 2?
Did
yes. In fact, Brass, were you watching that one?
It was such an interesting, strange game, and I think it was so interesting because they're two quite strong sides. I still can't get my head around so many of those Spanish players having played at the Euros and then playing at the Olympics. It's insane, particularly in the current environment. With that said, they're all doing exactly what you would expect them to do. So. Dani Olmo has been playing very well, got them a nice equaliser in normal time. Then Unai Simon looked like he'd given the game to the Ivory Coast by sort of diving over a shot from Max Gradel, and that was in stoppage time. And then Spain come straight up the other end, equalise. Rafa Mir, who still belongs to Wolves despite being out on loan for quite a long time, gets the equaliser, ends up getting himself a hat-trick. Having scored a stoppage time equaliser with his first touch. It was amazing.
It's crazy. I mean, as well, like you can, we've spoken before about how the Olympic football is a bit of a strange beast for the men's game in particular. But you can see how intense these tournaments are from the reactions to everyone involved. Like to those players there, it's the same as the Euros. Do you know what I mean? So like those players, when they get back to their clubs, are just going to be spent.
The other results, Japan beat New Zealand on pens, Brazil 1, Egypt 0, and Mexico 6, South Korea 3.
Yeah, that had a hat trick in it as well from Sebastian Cordova. And he scored a penalty and then he just sort of laid down. As his sort of celebration, just kind of laid on the pitch, like on his side, as if doing like a side plank or a little bit sort of like paint me like one of your French girls. Like really, like really, really taking the piss. Like it's one of the most disrespectful celebrations I've ever seen. Well into it. And it felt like the World Cup because Mexico were there.
Yeah, true. Initially, I thought you were going to say he was just lying down exhausted because of all the too much football, but
just showing off.
He was just taking the piss. And we're here for it. Absolutely we are. All right then, guys. I think that's enough of our chatter for one day, although I could spin it out for ages because all I've got to do for the rest of my day is sit and stare at my walls and have dreams about painting my door that I'm clearly never going to do because how does anyone know how to use a sander? On tomorrow's show, the lucky sods who get to react to the Europa Conference League draw include Jim Campbell. Jim, you must be... Oh, you're going to have some sleepless night. I can see it in your face.
It's going to be like Eurovision.
Holding you back will be Marcus and Pete. Lovely to see you guys. Say goodbye to the listeners, Brass.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
We'll catch you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.